On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the tough series for the baseball team against Auburn and give some exciting roster updates for the men's basketball team. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 61 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope everyone out there, hope Gamecock Nation had a fantastic weekend. I don't know about y'all, but for me, this felt like the type of weekend where it's just getting me excited for summer. The weather is being consistently good. Everyone's trying to go out, be active, crack a beer outside, whether it's on a rooftop, whether it's out in the park, whatever it is, it's that type of weather, and that is my type of weather. I'm a tropical guy, y'all. I am. I live in the Big Apple, and I have to deal with months of cold, rain, dark days, but I am a tropical person at heart. And it's funny, though, as nice as this weather is and excited as I am for summer, it's like, I really freaking miss football. I miss it bad. It hit me this weekend, and maybe it's because spring practice is over and there's just not a whole heck of a lot of news coming out of the program. You know, we're getting some crystal balls on some recruits here and there, which is exciting. Shane Beamer made a couple welcome home tweets. We don't know who they are, but there's just not a whole heck of a lot going on with football right now, and I just miss it. So as much excitement as I have for summer, for day drinking out in the sun, I'm ready for the fall. It's funny how it goes like that, but got a lot to jump into for this episode here. Really focused on the baseball team. That's kind of all we have going on now, y'all. So it's going to be a lot of baseball, which is fun. I mean, this is an interesting season to cover closely, being my first with the podcast. It's been a very, as y'all know, inconsistent up and down team. But hey, baseball's great. It's the American pastime. It's fun to cover it. So a lot of the episodes, I'm going to try to find news here and there from other programs where I can. But just to let y'all know as a heads up, from here until maybe, you know, the end of the season, let's say, you know, we'll have to get creative in the summer for the content. But it's going to be a lot of baseball here out. But the Gamecock Trivia and Fact Daily Calendar is always changing up. So here's our trivia for this episode here. Before becoming a star tight end for the USC football program, Hayden Hurst was a baseball player in the minor leagues. In what MLB team system was he playing? But I actually knew this answer. It is the Pittsburgh Pirates. Hayden Hurst. Shout out Hayden Hurst, man. First round pick. Big red. That was a fun moment in Gamecock history with Hayden Hurst. I mean, he was good. He got me a first round pick. He was good, but wasn't he like 25 and still on that team? Usually you had him and then Jake Bentley throwing him the ball. And if you were lived under a rock, you would know that Jake Bentley skipped his last year of high school, yada, yada, yada. So you had this really young kid throwing to this legitimate man, this like adult. It was funny, man, but he was great. Do you remember when there was the season where we just could not find a punt returner to save our lives? And everyone was just dropping punts left and right. And I'm pretty sure at one point, Hayden Hurst was trotted out there to literally just stand there and catch the ball. Don't run. You're not that fast. You're a tight end. But go out there and catch the ball. And if that does not sum up the previous regime and the previous coaching staff, I don't know what does. My God, we were getting excited for Hayden Hurst catching a punt. We are just in so much better hands now. Competent hands. Thank God. Wow. What a time. All right. Before I get too deep in that and get myself upset here, going to start with some men's basketball news here. Lamont Paris, He's got a big job ahead of him. We know that. He's trying to recruit guys. He's trying to work the transfer portal. We know he has had success doing that. He had success doing that and winning from guys with the transfer portal at Chattanooga, where he was previously. And he's going to have to do that this recruiting cycle just because guys left our team, and it's maybe a little late in the game, but it's a whole heck of a lot. But he picked up a big transfer commit forward, Hayden Brown, out of Citadel. So he was playing at Citadel. Hayden played there from 2017 to 2022 and is actually their seventh all-time leading scorer. I don't know the exact basketball history at the Citadel. I wouldn't imagine it's like stacked. But with that being said, anytime you're on a list like that, seventh is no joke. I mean, he was there for a few years, but he's good. You know, I mean, he's originally from South Carolina. And like, while this is a good pickup, clearly just from a basketball standpoint, X's and O's, if you will, keeping him from transferring to other schools, I think he had offers from Georgia Tech and maybe Loyola Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. So keeping him is a great sign for Lamont Paris, as he has said, one of his main goals is wanting to keep the talent in the state, but more importantly, coming to USC. So that's just really exciting to see. Hayden was someone who, a lot of Haydens in this episode. We had Hayden Hurst, fact, Hayden Brown. How about that? Just made that connection. Hey, Haydens, what's up? If you got a Hayden listener, come on the show. It'd be fun. But it's really neat to see Lamont Paris working, right? He already got a high school commit. He had the transfer portal commit here, and he's been hosting some big time ranked recruits as well as transfer. So he's working. He's grinding. The basketball Twitter account, they posted a video where it's program loading. I think that's the perfect way to look at this transition period for the basketball team. It's loading, right? He's still filling out his staff, if I'm not mistaken. So he's out there doing this a lot on his own, but I like the moves he's made so far. The guys he's hired, the guys he's brought on as far as a staff standpoint, I like, especially with keeping some guys who are affiliated with USC, bringing them back into the fold. But going after one of the best transfers in the state, if not the transfer from the state, like, and getting him, that says a lot. So hopefully we can keep up this momentum from a recruiting standpoint, from a transfer standpoint, and get some guys. Also of note real quick, Keyshawn Bryant, he is withdrawing from the NBA draft but entering the transfer portal. So the NBA is funny where you can put your name out in the draft but not hire an agent and then basically buy yourself some time, I think. I don't know. It's all wacky. I don't really know. But Keyshawn did that. He entered his name in the draft, now has withdrawn it, but I guess doesn't want to come back to USC. Like, and you know what, man? That's fine. Like, Keyshawn, like, good player, seems to be a good dude, good kid, but like, that's just a lot. That's a lot of back and forth. Lamont doesn't need the headache of trying to think, is this guy coming back? Consider yourself gone. But anyway, there's movement and momentum on the basketball front, and that's fun. But going to the games that are actually being played, wins and losses being determined, moving over to the baseball team now, as they went to Auburn to take on the Tigers, and yeah, that's all I got. No, but long story short, it was a tough weekend for Gamecock baseball. It really was. It was filled with tough losses and double plays galore. I don't think I've seen a team hit into more double plays in a series than we did this weekend. It was just tough. And they were even talking about it on the broadcast. It was just double play after double play. Auburn, they just continue to climb in my rankings of annoying schools. They're annoying. Auburn is annoying. They have the Tigers, but also War Eagle. Pick one mascot. What are you doing? But then there was just this guy chanting the Go Auburn, wearing a batting helmet in the stands. Like, come on, what are we doing, guy? Like, what are we doing? And their stadium is weird. It's like right next to the parking garage. People watch from the parking garage. Like, what? What are we doing here? Auburn stinks. I don't like Auburn going all the way back to playing them football 2 years ago, everything that happened in that offseason, and then beating them. Oh, don't like Auburn. So this was a tough series for me personally. So game one here, Carolina lost 6-3. And After a big second inning from Auburn, we were able to battle back and tie the game in the middle innings, including a big-time home run from Andrew Eister, the Iceman, Ice Baby. However, unfortunately, it did not last too long as Auburn scored one in the seventh and two in the eighth to take the lead. And then they got a little bit of insurance sprinkled in there, and then they just never looked back. It was too little too late for Carolina at that point. Losing pitcher in the game was John Gilreath. Now, that's a little deceiving. I know Gilly has had some tough outings this year. People have been kind of hard on him. And you know what? The proof is in the pudding. He has had some rough innings. He's shown some flashes. But him being the losing pitcher in this game, it's a little deceiving in my opinion, because he pitched five innings of relief. Brett Thomas was the starter, didn't make it very far. And it, for me, it just felt like Gilreath was on the wrong side of the Auburn rally, really. He pitched well, all things considered, just gave up the run that gave him the L. Some other player highlights for you here on the offensive side of the ball here. Andrew Eister, I just said, 1-for-4 with a big home run. Kevin Madden, he went 1-for-2 but scored 2 runs. And Brant Belk went 1-for-4. So now moving on to game 2. Oh, the theme of this game was so close, yet so far. I honestly wish I paid attention in English class, literature class, or wherever we were reading Shakespeare. I'm not a big Shakespeare guy. It's very confusing. It's English, but it's not. But I'm sure there is a Shakespearean quote which can talk about when you are so tantalizingly close to winning, only to then have it brutally taken away from you instantly. I'm sure there's a Shakespearean quote. I'm sure there's an Edgar Allan Poe poem or something like that that can describe game 2, South Carolina versus Auburn on April 22nd, whenever that was, 23rd. I'm sure there's an exact classic American literature or English literature in this case that can describe this. So without getting myself too upset here, Carolina was down early in the game, but we made a nice inning in the sixth to score 3 runs with a huge thanks to Braylon Wimmer. Wimmer, chicken dinner with a 3-run home run, a monster shot. Auburn has some stupid fake green monster in left field for no reason, for no good reason. They just wanted to do it. Hits it over this fucking thing. Excuse my French. But he hits it over the wall and ties the game for Carolina. Noah Hall was the starting pitcher. He was pitching pretty well to that point. Goes out and shuts down Auburn. So Carolina has tied the game, had a great half inning from Noah Hall. All momentum and feel good and vibes are in the Carolina dugout at this point, which leads us to the seventh inning, where Carolina has a huge inning once again, scoring 3 more runs to take the lead. Some timely hitting here from Kevin Madden, I can never say this guy's name right. I'm trying to give a highlight here. Kevin Madden, Seitler. We're just going to say, and Seitler. And some electric base running by Michael Braswell. He was waved home, just got under the tag to take the lead. It was so electric. Michael Money Braswell, great, great heads-up base running. So you take the lead. You're up at that point. Take the lead by 3 runs. However, as quickly as the baseball gods gave us the lead, they took it away. The very next half inning, so that was the top of the seventh and the bottom of the seventh, Auburn went on to score 4 runs after knocking around both Noah Hall and Matthew Becker. Noah Hall went out. He just got one. He went out in that inning, got knocked around, got a couple base runners, was able to get 1 out, I believe. Mark Kingston brings in Matthew Becker with a couple guys on base, which is tough for any reliever, honestly. I liked the move at the time because Becker has moved into that closing role, but shown us that he has the arm to go multiple innings. So I really liked the move going to Becker in that spot, but it was just too much of a hole at that point. But Becker was having a hard time finding the zone. He was leaving a lot of balls outside. He just did not look too comfortable coming into that bottom of the seventh inning there, and they scored 4 runs. You know, Auburn scored 4 runs They take the lead back by one, and then Auburn gets some insurance in the eighth, and that's all she wrote for the game. Absolutely brutal. Two incredible innings by South Carolina to tie the game and take the lead. Back-to-back innings, scoring three runs in each inning, only to then have it ripped away from us. Absolutely tough. Matthew Becker ended up being the losing pitcher for that game. Some highlights here from y'all. Braylon Wimmer just said 2-for-4, 3 RBIs with a huge home run. Carson Hornung went 2-for-3. Michael Braswell went 1-for-4 with a double. And this game was just frustrating. You can probably hear it in my voice. It was frustrating because it sort of encapsulated a few themes of the season. And the biggest overriding theme from this season, from this team, is just that it feels like you were so close to breaking through, only to then just have it absolutely ripped away. We've seen that a few times this season, being right in the game, tying the game only to then give it away, taking a lead only to then lose it an inning or so later. Even the season in itself, it felt like last year the team was pretty good. You looked at the transfers we brought in, you looked at the freshmen we had, and it felt like we could break through and have a good season this year. It did. Only to have it ripped away from us, and we got swept by the team in the upstate, had a couple bad showings in league play, had a couple questionable games and bad showings in the midweek games, and this feeling of a good season and this feeling of having a lot of pride in the baseball team, belief that they can be really good, also kind of being ripped away from us. But also, lack of bullpen depth, starters being hurt, all that jazz was very, very clearly on display this season against Auburn. Game two was really the gut punch, if you will, which brings us to game three. Carolina loses 2-0. That's Sunday. Losing pitcher was Will Sanders. Will pitched pretty well in my mind. He went 5, only gave up the 2 runs. Cade Austin pitched shutout ball the rest of the way, but you just couldn't bring anyone home. That's it. that's really all I got here. Player highlights on the offensive side. Brant Belk, 2-for-4. I believe his hitting streak was actually snapped this series. And then Talmadge LeCroy, he went 2-for-3. I don't know, man. I mean, it's so tough to get swept, period. But to get swept this late in the year in the SEC, there's just not much more to say other than the frustration with this team continues. I'm seeing some people on Twitter say we might not make the SEC tournament in baseball. South Carolina? That's not us. That's just simply unacceptable. And I don't even want to think about that. I'm not going to go to that doomsday scenario. I'm an optimist by nature. I wear the garnet glasses. You're goddamn right that I do. And I'm going to believe that there's still fight in this team. And I'm going to believe that there is still hope to maybe not do something crazy, and like end up in a super regional, but get to that tournament, play well, maybe see where it takes you. Maybe you can sneak into a regional. That would be great for me. There's no midweek game this year in a traditional this year, this week. There's no their next game. The baseball team's next game, in other words, is just their series against Alabama. It starts Thursday. Alabama is 23-17 on the year. So sort of a middle of the pack. Maybe this is a series we can take too. I don't know. Next episode, it kind of falls in a funky sort of an in-between, like where a game will have been played already. So we'll recap the games that have been played and preview the last one. It's going to be a little funky, but we're going to have fun with it. It's Carolina baseball. It's the 2022 baseball team, so it is going to be a little funky. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. But please, most importantly, like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you listen it to. I appreciate all y'all. Let's go, Cox.